والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. We continue our readings in the work of Abdullah al-Wadi'iyya حفظها الله تعالى. The treatise she has entitled Nasihati Linnisa, Nasihati Li Al-Nisa, Linnisa, my advice to the women. We begin today with the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal, seeking His aid and His assistance, reading from the first chapter. The author, she has mentioned, Al-Hathu ala al-Ikhlasi wal-Muhafadati ala al-Waqt. She mentioned the chapter, Hafidhaha Allahu Ta'ala. She has entitled the encouragement, Al-Hathu, the encouragement, ala al-Ikhlas, to be sincere, to have an intention that is purely for the sake of Allah alone, to have an intention and a desire in the heart to seek the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal alone and the abode of the hereafter. Al-Hathu ala al-Ikhlas wal-Muhafadati ala al-Waqt, the encouragement to be sincere and upon sincerity and purity of intention, and likewise the encouragement to preserve and to maintain one's time and to observe and take care of one's time. So she mentioned here, حفظها الله تعالى قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله ما الفتح حدثنا عبد الله بن مسلمة قال أخبرنا مالك عن يحيى بن سعيد عن محمد بن إبراهيم عن ألكمة بن وقاص عن عمر رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال الأعمال بالنية ولكل امرئ ما نوى فمن كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله ومن كانت هجرته لدنيا يصيبها أو امرأة يتزوجها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه. She mentioned the narration of Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala fi sahihihi with his chain to Umar ibn al-Khattabi radiyallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned this narration. This narration is known as Hadith Umar fi niyya, the Hadith of Umar with regards to the intention. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Al-A'malu bin niyya, that verily the deeds are but by way of intention. In some of the narrations, bin niyyat, with the plural, by intentions. وَلِكُلْ إِمْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى, and every individual, he will have what he has intended. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. So whoever had the intention to make migration for the sake of Allah and His Messenger, or to Allah and to the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then his migration is to Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِدُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا وَمْرَأَةٍ يَتَزَوَّجُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. But as for the one who had made this migration for a worldly affair to obtain, or for a woman to take in marriage, then his migration is for what he migrated for. Then his migration is for what he migrated for. حفظها الله تعالى وإني أوصي نفسي وإياكن بتقوى الله عز وجل في السر والعلن. She says, verily I command myself and you as well. I advise myself and command myself and you as well with the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal, with the piety and the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, في السر والعلن, in private and in public. ونجعل العمل خالصا لوجه الله الكريم, and that we make our actions sincerely, purely for the sake of Allah, the Most Noble and Generous. وَلَّا نَعْمَلَ أَيَّ عَمَلٍ رِيَاءً وَلَا مُفَاخَرَةً, and that we should not do any deed whatsoever, showing off or seeking some praise and the likes. And she mentions وَنَلْتَزِمَ بِدِينِنَا, and that we hold fast to our religion. فَإِنَّنَا مَسْؤُولَاتٌ أَمَامَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ, because verily we are going to be held accountable in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. She began in this manner, حَفِظَهَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, with this narration. The narration, Hadith Umar fi Niyyah. Likewise, she mentioned that this narration is in Sahih Bukhari. Rather, likewise, that Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, he began his authentic collection in the same manner, with the same narration. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, he died in the year 256. He began his authentic collections of hadith known as Sahih al-Bukhari in the same manner with this narration. He didn't have an introduction. Rather, he established this hadith in the place of an introduction, an indication of the importance of the intention of a Muslim in the life of a Muslim and the life of a believer, particularly those who are worshiping Allah Azza wa Jal during their worship, that the intention is something very, very important, particularly for those who are seeking knowledge. Likewise, studying the narrations of the Prophet, studying the ayat of Allah Azza wa Jal in his book, learning the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, it's very important for a student to have a pure intention. So she has begun her work in the same way Al-Imam al-Bukhari began his work, rahimahullah ta'ala. Likewise, even after him, there are other ulama, from the ulama of the Salaf, they began their works in this manner, like Al-Hafidh Abdul Ghani, Al-Maqdisi, he began also his work, Umdat Al-Ahkam, with this narration, reminding himself and reminding the reader or the student of the importance of having the correct intention from the very beginning. And for the person who is embarking on this endeavor of seeking knowledge, as we study this book, that we remember that a Muslim, he is created to worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone, and that this requires a pure and a sincere intention. So every action that is established, that it's an act of worship, then it must be purely and sincerely for Allah alone. This is the reminder here. The ulama, they began these works like this, particularly with seeking knowledge, because seeking knowledge, as many of the ulama have mentioned, is the greatest act of worship after the obligatory affairs. So it's a reminder for the reader and the listener, and a reminder for the teacher and the student, the author likewise, of the obligation of having ikhlas in the deed. Having ikhlas in the deed of seeking knowledge and teaching knowledge and spreading knowledge and of every action that is sought by way of it, the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, Al-Hafidh An-Nawawi, he began in Arba'in An-Nawawiyyah with this hadith. Before that, and before Abdul Ghani Al-Maqdisi, Rahimahullah Al-Baghawi, Al-Imam Al-Baghawi, he began Sharh Sunnah. So in the same manner, with the same narration, many of the ulama, they have began in this way. It has been narrated from Abdul Rahman ibn Mahdi, rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 198, that he mentioned that if he were to author a work, he would begin every chapter with this hadith because of the importance of this hadith. Many of the ulama, they have mentioned that this hadith is a third of Islam or a fourth of Islam. And it's been narrated that this hadith comes in more than 70 chapters of fiqh, meaning in many, many, many chapters in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. So it's very important to understand this narration and have a general understanding for a Muslim, and even for a student to have a specific and a detailed understanding. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. And بِنِيَاتِهَا, the ulama, they say مُعْتَبَرَة. The meaning is إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ مُعْتَبَرَةٌ بِنِيَاتِهَا صِحَةٍ وَفَسَادًا وَقَبُولٍ وَرَدَّةٍ, that the deeds are considered by way of their intentions, whether they are correct or whether they are corrupt, or whether they are accepted or whether they are rejected. So the intention is very, very important. النِيَّة. The word an-niyya comes from the verb nawa, yanwi, inwi. niyatan with no one. And the plural of niyya is niyat wa nawaya. And the niyya, the ulama, they mentioned it is the qasd. It is an intention to perform an action. It is an intention to perform an action. And it's a qasdu. Yaqumu fil qalb. That's established in the heart. The niyya, the place, mahalu niyya, is the heart. Whenever the ulama, they speak about the niyya, this is very important to understand. Very beneficial for a believer, for a student of knowledge, that the niyyah, the ulama, they speak about, it's two types. There's two types of a niyyah. When the ulama, they speak about the niyyah. إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى And every individual will have what he has intended. So the niyyah is two types. The ulama, they mention the first type, is called niyatul amal. Niyatul amali. Niyatul amal. And the second type is called niyatul ma'muli lahu. Niyatul ma'muli lahu. Niyatul amal. Wa niyatul ma'muli lahu. Niyatul amal, it means the intention of the action, the intention of the deed. وَالنِّيَّةُ الْمَعْمُولِ لَهُ This is the one whom the action is intended for, or who the intention is, the intention, the one who the action is intended for. Who did one do the action for? This one is called نِيَّةُ الْمَعْمُولِ لَهُ نِيَّةُ الْعَمَلِ This one is the نِيَّة of the action. The ulama, they mention that the نِيَّة, what it does is that it makes tamyiz, distinguishment between the actions. Distinguishment between the actions. Niyatul amal, it distinguishes between the actions that are acts of worship and between the actions that are custom or everyday actions that are not considered acts of worship. So the ulama, they say, niyatul amal, hadhihi tumayyizu bayna al-ibadati wal-aadat. تُمَيِّزُ بَيْنَ الْعِبَادَاتِ وَالْعَادَاتِ That this intention of the action, it distinguishes between the actions that are acts of worship and between the actions that are custom or they are normal everyday actions. For example, a person or two people could possibly make a ghusl. Both of them completely cleansing their body with water entirely. One of them could have a great reward with Allah Azza wa Jalla, and the other one could not have a reward with Allah Azza wa Jalla. And their action is one. Their action is one. Both of them, they make ghusl. Both of them, they take a shower. The first one could have the intention to make ghusl al-janaba, for example, to remove that impurity. Or maybe it was on Yawmul Jumu'ah, for example, and they had the intention to take the ghusl of Jumu'ah. So they have obtained the ghusl and they have become clean, but likewise they have the reward with Allah Azza wa Jal. As for another person, if they were to take a ghusl, for example, also on Yawmul Jumu'ah, before Salatul Jumu'ah, but they did not intend to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they just intended to take a shower normally like they do in the morning, daily, then likewise they would become clean, but they do not have a reward with Allah Azza wa Jal. What distinguishes between these two people? The niyyah. The niyyah, this is what distinguishes between these two people, between the one who gets the reward and the one who is performing an act of worship, and between the one who is performing an everyday act. This niyyah is called niyyatul amal, the intention of the deed. It distinguishes the types of deeds. Two people could do one deed, and they could be in the same place, but with regards to reward and nearness to Allah Azza wa Jalla, they could be as far as the east and the west, in difference and in distance between each other. And that which distinguishes that is the intention. One could be doing an act of worship, drawing near to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and one could be seeking the dunya. could be seeking the dunya, and he has no reward with Allah Azza wa Jal. That which distinguishes between this is called an-niyyah, niyyatul amal. Also, the ulama, they mention about this niyyah, niyyatul amal. The first thing that the niyyah, niyyatul amal, it does is distinguish between the ibadat and the adat, which has preceded. Likewise, هذه النية تميز بين العبادات بعضها عن بعض, بعضها عن بعض. That this intention also, it distinguishes between the acts of worship themselves, distinguishing between different types of worship. For example, in the morning time, a believer will stand at Fajr and pray 2 rak'ah. After that, a believer will stand and pray 2 more in the same manner, facing the same direction, maybe even with the same wudu. And likewise, they will be reciting possibly some of the similar verses, or even the same verses exactly, it's possible. But one of them is non-obligatory and the other one is obligatory. The first 2 rak'ah would be considered the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sunnah al-fajr, which is highly recommended. And the other one would be al-fariḍa, fariḍatul fajr, the obligatory salat of al-fajr. What distinguishes between these two actions? Even though the surah is wahida, there's one, the form is one, 2 rak'ah in the morning after the rising of the fajr. But one of them is not an obligation, and one of them has a reward of a non-obligatory action, and the other one is an obligation. And the requirement of that obligation is removed whenever performed with that intention. So what distinguishes between the two is the intention. This intention here is called the intention of the action. The intention of the action. Niyatul amal. This is very beneficial for a believer to know and to learn. It has been narrated from Yahya bin Abi Kathir. Yahya ibn Abi Kathir, he died in the year 132. He said, advising his students, تَعَلَّمُوا النِّيَّةِ تَعَلَّمُوا النِّيَّةِ, to learn the intention. فَإِنَّهَا أَبْلَغُ مِنَ الْعَمَلِ, because it is more severe and it is more important than the action itself. And learning how to perform the action is very, very important. But before that, learning how to have the proper intention. Learning how to have the proper intention. So we see again a niyyah, innama al-amalu bin-niyyat, that the niyyah is two types. So far we have studied one type, niyyatul amal. This niyyatul amal, it has two purposes, two purposes. The first one is to distinguish between the ibadat and the adat, between the acts of worship and the everyday normal affairs. And the second purpose of this niyyah, niyyatul amal, that it distinguishes between the acts of worship themselves. This, for example, maybe a person will pray 4 rak'at in the daytime, and then later on in the same day they'll pray 4 more rak'at in the same manner. The first one is an obligation, and likewise the second one is an obligation. The first one is dhuhr, and the second one is asr. And what distinguishes between the two of them is the intention. So this is called niyatul amal. It has many usages or places that it would be beneficial to understand, or that a Muslim will use this intention in his or her life. Niyatul amal. The other type of niyyah is called niyatul ma'murillah. And what is intended by that is al-ikhlas, and that's what the author is intending here. The other usage for the word an-niyyah, for the intention in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, niyatul ma'mulillah, who is the deed intended for. This one is al-ikhlas, sincerity. So generally, whenever the ulama al-fiqha, and in the books of fiqh, in the books of tahara and salat and zakat and the likes, from sawm and fasting, and the books of an-nikah and marriage and talaq, and whenever the ulama, they're speaking about transactions and buying and trading and the likes, whenever they're speaking about the obligation of the niyyah or the reality of the niyyah or the niyyah in tahara or the niyyah in salat, this is what is referred to, or what they are intending here is niyyatul amal, the niyyah of the deed that distinguishes the deed. But whenever the ulama are discussing the issues of iman and aqidah and at-tawheed and the likes, creed and belief, then, and they mention the niyyah, they're discussing the affair here of niyyatul ma'mulillah, al-ikhlas. So here the author, she's mentioning the chapter, here's the encouragement to have sincerity. And she mentioned this narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he has mentioned innamal amalu bin niyyat, that verily the deeds are by way of their intentions, by way of their intentions. That if a person, he has a proper intention and he has taken the proper means, he will have a reward for that. He will have a reward for that. But even if an individual, he did a deed according to the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal, but he had a foul intention, then likewise he would have the recompense of that. Innama al-amalu bin niyyat. Or innama al-amalu bin niyyah. It's come in both ways, with singular and in the plural form. The ulama, they mention likewise an example of that, how the deed is but by way of the intention. The deed is but by way of the intention. The intention is what is considered. That maybe possibly, for example, we will see that even if a person, he has a bad intention, he will be held accountable for that. Even if the surah or the image or the form of the deed seems proper. And they make the example of a man who divorces his wife the first time, for example, or the second time, and he can take her back. He can take her back. So he will wait for her to be near to the iddah, and then he will take her back. Not because he wants to take her back, but because he wants to harm her and keep her dangling. So then he will take her back for some time, and then like his means of taking her back, it's in the legislation, it's encouraged and recommended for the couples to make islah and rectification. But here, this individual, he had a bad intention. He is waiting to take her back, not to take her back with a good intention, but rather with a foul intention to harm her. So this narration applies to him too, likewise in this light. إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. So a believer, he will be cautious, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows what's in the hearts of the people. Naam? That he knows that which is in the breast, and that which is even more hidden. So a believer, he will always try to rectify his intention and have a good intention in making it sincerely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Even, for example, if a person were to normally do a good deed and he had the intention that normally they do the good deed, but then they were prohibited for some reason to not be able to do it. Normally, for example, they pray the sunnah of Fajr. Or normally, for example, they fast on Monday or Thursday or the likes. They have a deed that normally they do it daily. And they have that intention to do it daily, but they become sick, or they travel, or there is something that else that prohibits them, that's out of their hands. Then they will have the reward for that because of their intention and because of their effort that they had performed previously. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned about that. That it will be written for a servant, كُتِبَ لِلْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ يَعْمَلُهُ وَهُوَ إِذَا مَرِضَ الْعَبْدُ أَوْ سَافَرَ كُتِبَ لَهُ مَا كَانَ يَعْمَلُهُ وَهُوَ صَحِيحٌ مُقِيمٌ. That if a believer or if a servant, he becomes sick or he travels, then the deeds that he used to do will be written for him while he is sick, or while that he used to do whenever he was... If a believer becomes sick or he travels, then the deeds that he used to do will be written for him that he did while he was a resident or while he was healthy. So the intention is very important. A person, he has a good intention, and if he intends good, then Allah Azza wa Jal will give him good. Then Allah Azza wa Jal will give him or her good, the one who intends good. In any case, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says here, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. And every individual will have what they had intended. If a person, he intended good in the pleasure of Allah, he will have good in the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. But if he or she intended something other than good, intended, for example, the dunya, then they might obtain that or they might not. They might obtain that or they might not. So the one who intends the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, he will have that reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the one who intends something from the dunya, possibly he will obtain it or she will obtain it, and possibly not. So a believer will try to always rectify the intention. This is what she's encouraging here. الحثو على الإخلاص أي على إخلاص النية وتصفية النية. That the intention will be sincerely for the sake of Allah. إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made an example. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فِهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. That whoever his intention was for the sake of Allah and his messenger, then his intention was for the sake of Allah and his messenger. Meaning he will have that reward. He will have that reward. And whoever had other than that intended by their migration to achieve something from the dunya or a woman to marry, then that's, he will have what he had intended. He will get what he had intended. In these days, al-hijrah ilallahi yukunu bil-ikhlas wa tiba'i kitabihi subhanahu wa ta'ala, that one would migrate to Allah azza wa jalla sincerely by following him and believing in him sincerely and following his book. وَالْهِجْرَةُ إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِاتِّبَاعِ سُنَّتِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, and following his sunnah. Likewise, there is a hijrah that is well known, and الْهِجْرَةُ الَّتِي هِيَ الْإِنْتِقَالُ مِنْ بَلَدِ الشِّرْكِ إِلَى بَلَدِ الْإِسْلَامِ. There is a migration that is well known, and this is the first thing that comes to the mind of an individual generally whenever hijrah is mentioned, and it is to move from the lands of shirk to the lands of al-Islam with the body. This type of hijrah, likewise, the ulama, they speak about the rulings of this type of hijrah in the books of al-fiqh. And this type of hijrah, it has its conditions, and it's not incumbent upon everyone at every time. Rather, it is only obligatory upon certain people in certain circumstances. But there is another type of hijrah that the ulama, they speak about, that's very, very important. Another type of hijrah that is very, very important, and it is incumbent and obligatory upon every Muslim at every time and every place. And this is the hijrah of the heart. Hijratul qalbi ila Allahi wa rasulihi. Hijratul qalbi ila Allahi wa rasulihi. An yuhajir al-qalbu qalbul muslim ila Allahi bi al-inabati wa tawbati wa tawakkuli wa raja'i wa al-khawfi wa al-raghbati wa rahbati minhu subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the heart of a believer will be migrating to Allah Azza wa Jalla with hope and with fear. And the heart of a believer will be migrating and directing its devotion and attention to Allah Azza wa Jalla with sincerity and truthfulness and with trust and reliance and sincere faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is incumbent upon every believer and every individual at every time for the heart to be attached to Allah and to that which Allah loves, and for the heart to migrate to Allah Azza wa Jalla and to leave off everything that is displeasing to Allah and migrate to Him with the heart to what He loves. And likewise, migration to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning to his sunnah, to follow him sincerely and faithfully and obediently, following him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and taking him as a role model, and taking him as a role model and example to be followed in all that he did, and all of his narrations that have come authentic on him, have been narrated authentically on him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the believer, his heart will love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than he loves his own self, and more than he loves his family, and more than he loves the people altogether and wealth likewise. This is an obligation. This is an obligation. This is the hijrah of the heart. This is very important for a believer to know. The one who makes hijrah, whether it's with the body or with the heart, is going from one place to another, from going from one place to another, from one thing to another. So the hijrah of the heart is going from the things that are displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, from speech and action, from creed and belief, from worship, the things that are displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, to the things that are pleasing to Him, from creed and belief, from iman and tawheed, and ikhlas and sidq, ma'ahu subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise worshipping Him in the manner pleasing to Him, worshipping Him with sincere faith and with obedience, worshipping Him with compliance to His commandments, migrating with the heart to Allah Azza wa Jalla, likewise following the messenger and giving preference to his command over the command of the soul and the command of any person or individual. This is the migration that's obligatory at all times. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِدُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أُمْرَأَةٍ يَتَزَوَّجُهَا. In some narrations, يَنْكِيحُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. These are some of the benefits that the ulama, they mentioned from this great narration, the narration of Umar radiallahu anhu in the niyyah. Hadith of Umar fi niyyah, innama al-amalu bin niyyah, wa li kulli imri'in ma nawa, faman kanat hijratuhu ila Allahi wa rasulihi, fa hijratuhu ila Allahi wa rasulihi, wa man kanat hijratuhu lidunya yusibuha, aw imra'atin yatazawwajuha, fa hijratuhu ila ma hajara ilayhi. This hadith is likewise in Sahih Muslim, Mutafiqun alayhi. I encourage the sisters to learn this narration and to memorize this narration, and that likewise to understand some of those benefits that are found in this narration, and to apply them and to ponder over this narration and its importance, and to know that this is one of those proofs for the obligation of the deed being sincere for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. We all know, وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ, that for the acceptance of deeds, there are two conditions. This hadith is a proof, the ulama, they mentioned, for the first condition, and that is al-ikhlas, and that the deed is done for Allah alone. Going back for a minute, I just remember that likewise from the benefits of this hadith, very important for a believer, very important for a Muslim, very important for a Muslimah, to know that if they learn this intention, the niyatul amal wa niyatul ma'murillah, and they learn some of the details of this intention, now they see that they can actually turn their entire life to worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. They can turn their entire life, even the everyday affairs that they do, from eating and drinking and from preparing the children and from doing the dishes and from preparing the food in the house and taking care of the affairs in the house, likewise from the daily affairs of a Muslimah, of a Muslim woman, for example. It's possible for her, if she has knowledge of the niyyah and its status in the deen and how to benefit from that knowledge, she can turn all of her deeds into acts of worship that she gets a reward for, by seeking to do these deeds, taking care of her obligations in the house, the obligations that she has with regards to her husband, and taking care of his property in his absence, and being honest and the likes with regards to that, and likewise keeping his house clean and the likes, and taking care of the children, or preparing the food, or the laundry, all of the affairs that the Muslim woman, she will take care of in the daytime and in the nighttime. If she remembers the affair of the niyyah and this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that verily the deeds are but by way of the intention, and that every individual will have what they had intended, that this intelligent sister, this noble Muslima, aqila, dhakiya, she has knowledge, she can turn these deeds into acts of worship. She can do these sincerely, seeking the pleasure of Allah, fulfilling these commandments and fulfilling the rights of her family and the likes, and taking care of the affairs of her home, seeking the reward from Allah, knowing that Allah loves it whenever the Muslim woman, she takes care of the affairs of her home. وَكُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ أَنْ رَعِيَتِهِ. And she has obligations in her house. Likewise, generally for a Muslim, if they learn about this intention, they can eat. Normally eating, there's no reward for that. But whenever they eat, if they eat with the intention to eat that which is permissible, and they mention the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla in the beginning, and then they eat with their right hand, and they eat with that which is near to them in the plate, and the likes like that, following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But they're not eating to fulfill their desires or their cravings. Rather, they will eat in order to strengthen themselves so they can continue to worship Allah. Likewise, sleeping in the same manner. There's no reward for sleeping. But the one who intends by sleeping early to get up for Fajr, or sleeping early to get up for the night prayer to pray Witr, or get sleeping early or sleeping in general to gain strength and to revive one's strength and energy so that they can worship tomorrow, the next day, or whenever they awake, then likewise this one, he has or she has a reward with Allah Azza wa Jal from this good intention. Now their sleeping had become an act of worship, especially if they followed the sunnah in that by making wudu before sleeping or making the adhkar before sleeping and sleeping on the right side and the likes like this, gathering between al-ikhlas, sleeping here to gain strength to worship Allah Azza wa Jal and to give the body its right, and then sleeping upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a Muslim or Muslimah can turn their deeds, all of their life, into reward, into nearness to Allah Azza wa Jalla by remembering Him and remembering His deen and remembering this intention, And like this, it is mentioned in the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, قُلْ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةِ وَالنُّسُكِ وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ قُلْ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةِ وَالنُّسُكِ, say, verily, my salat and my slaughtering, وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِ لِلَّهِ, and my life and my death, and everything of myself, لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. A great narration she began with, حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَجَزَاهَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا, mentioning the hadith of Umar and the niyyah, the hadith of Umar with regards to the niyyah. She mentioned likewise the advice to be sincere and to be upon piety in public and in private, and to stay away from showing off, and to stay away from boasting, and that a Muslimah will hold fast to her deen. The way to show off is to know that intention and to know some realities about that intention. And the way to be safe from showing off is to remember that this deed is for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and to hope for the reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So the believer is not safe from shaitan trying to deter his action and to cause him to show off. But there is a great threat for those who show off. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that those who show off, after the people have been given their recompense, it will be said to them, go to those on the day of resurrection, go to those whom you used to show off for, and see if you will find a reward with them. This is humiliation. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, man samma'a samma'a Allahu bihi, wa man ra'a ra'a Allahu bihi, that whoever does a deed to be heard or does a deed to be seen showing off, then Allah will expose them, and Allah Azza wa Jalla will expose them. So a believer will have a general intention to worship Allah only with no partners whatsoever. He will have a general, or she will have a general intention like this, to have ikhlas in all of the actions. But then at the time of establishing that deed, for example, at the time of salat, or at the time of giving charity, or at the time of seeking knowledge, or at the time of teaching the children, or whatever the affair may be, at that time they will perfect the intention, and they will strive to make the intention solely and purely for the sake of Allah. They have a general intention that they will not worship anyone but Allah, but at the time of performing the deed, they will strive to purify that intention by turning their hope and devotion to Allah alone, hoping for His reward, remembering His promise. And that's why they're establishing the deed, to remember the promise of Allah and to remember the reward of those who pray, or the reward of those who teach, or even the one who is doing a normal deed but he's turning it, he wants to turn that normal deed into an act of worship, hoping at that time of establishing the deed in those moments, hoping greatly and devoting oneself and turning to Allah Azza wa Jalla with one's heart and relying upon Him and desiring the reward and the pleasure and desiring the home of the hereafter, remembering Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how one will be able to be safe from riya. And if it comes likewise, one will turn away from it. She is advising us, or she's advising the sisters, excuse me, to and the reader of her book, to not give any portion of the deeds for showing off or for boasting. She said here, فَإِنَّنَا مَسْؤُولَاتٌ أَمَامَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, mentioning a great reason and a great reminder. She says, verily, we are held accountable. We are held accountable in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. And she mentions here, وَفِي صَحِحَيْنِ مِنْ حَدِيثِ عَدِي بْنِ حَاتِمْ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَا مِنْكُمْ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا سَيُكَلِّمُهُ رَبُّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ تُرْجُمَانِ. She mentioned here the hadith that is in the Sahihain, Al-Bukhari wa Muslim. From the hadith of Adi ibn Hatim, radiyallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, there's not one of you except that his Lord will speak to him. And there will be no translator between them. There will be no mediator between them. There's not one of you, not one of you, except that his Lord will speak to him directly without having any mediator between them. فَيَنْظُرُ أَيْمَنَ مِنْهُ فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا مَا قَدَّمَ مِنْ عَمَلِهِ. So one of you will look on the right and he will not see anything except what he has presented from his deeds. وَيَنْظُرُ أَشْأَمَ مِنْهُ فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا مَا قَدَّمَ. And he will look on his left as well, and he will not see anything except what he has sent forth. وَيَنْظُرُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا النَّارِ. And he will look in front of him, and he will not see anything except for the fire. فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا النَّارَ تِلْقَاءَ وَجْهِهِ. He will not see anything except for the fire in front of his face. فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَةٍ. So you must fear the fire. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, you must fear the fire, even if it was a piece of a date. Even if it was a piece of a date, meaning that he gave in charity, that he gave in charity. Even if it was a piece of a date that he gave sincerely for the sake of Allah azza wa jal. That he gives sincerely for the sake of Allah azza wa jal. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned, he said, لا تعمل عملا تبتغي به وجه الله إلا تؤجر عليه حتى ما تضع حتى أن تضع لكمة في امرأتك أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, you will not do any deed, there is no deed that you do seeking the face of Allah عز وجل, seeking the reward with Allah عز وجل, seeking the pleasure of Allah عز وجل, except that you have a reward for that. Even a piece of meat that you put in the mouth of your wife. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is referring to even a small deed like this. فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَةٍ. So fear the fire, even if it's a piece of a date, even if it's half of a date. Yani meaning the one who gave it this date sincerely with a sincere intention, with a sincere intention. The hadith I just mentioned from the hadith of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Likewise, if the wife did that for her husband or did that for her children, it's not intended to any of the male and the female, but rather the female will have the same reward. If she did any good, seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, seeking the reward from Allah Azza wa Jal. And here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is commanding the people, فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَةٍ. That you must fear the fire even if it was half of a date or a piece of a date. And that a person, he will be sincere and he will remember that he was standing in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he will not do the deeds for the people because he's going to stand and he's going to face Allah Azza wa Jal and he's going to see his actions. And she likewise, the sister, she will see her actions. And she will stand in front of her Lord as well in the same manner. The author, she mentions, حَفِظَهَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَالتُرْجُمَانِ هُوَ الْمُعَبِّرُ بِلُغَةٍ عَنْ لُغَةٍ. And if the word turjuman that has come in this narration, it means the one who translates or expresses from one language to the next. Yani a translator. There will be no translator between the servant and his Lord on that day, whenever he stands in front of him and there's accountability. نسأل الله العافية والسلامة. The author, she mentions, حَفِظَهَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَالتَّقْوَى كَلِمَةٌ جَامِئَةٌ فَهِيَ عِبَارَةٌ عَنْ طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ وَطَاعَةِ رَسُولِهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. والله عز وجل لم يخلقنا عبثا. And Allah عز وجل did not create us without a purpose. And Allah عز وجل did not create us without a purpose. والتقوى كلمة جامعة. She says, التقوى, piety, righteousness. The fear of Allah, it is a concise term. And it is a word that generally it means the obedience to Allah and the obedience to His Messenger. The obedience to Allah and the obedience to His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The word at-taqwa, it comes from the word al-wiqaya. Al-wiqayatu. Al-wiqayatu, the Arabs, they say, al-wiqayatu khayrun min al-ilaj. Al-wiqayatu khayrun min al-ilaj. That al-wiqaya, it is better than the ilaj. Al-wiqaya means prevention or protection. And al-ilaj, it means the cure or the treatment. So they make this proverb or this method, and they say it's better for a person to be safe and have the prevention and protection from a disease or an ailment or a harm than to have that disease or that sickness along with the cure. Along with the cure. So the understanding of this word, al-wiqaya, al-wiqayatu, this is something that is a barrier or something that one takes as a protection from something that they fear. From something that they fear. From the verb waqa, yaqiqi, wiqayatan. So somebody who has a wiqaya, if he is afraid of something, they will use the wiqaya to protect them from that. For example, if it's cold outside, an individual will wear a jacket or a coat and use that as a wiqaya to protect him from what he fears, from the cold weather or the rain and the likes. This is the example of the wiqaya. But here, the wiqaya here is the wiqaya min عَذَابِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَمِنْ غَضَبِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, with regards to the taqwa of Allah, or the wiqaya that a believer he takes, the protection and the prevention and the barrier that a believer takes here, this is with regards to a barrier between the anger of Allah Azza wa Jalla and between his punishment. So this is the understanding of a taqwa. It is a barrier that a believer will take. If it's used properly, it will be a shield and a protection from the anger of Allah and from the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jalla in this life and in the hereafter. This is the meaning of a taqwa. And this taqwa or this wiqaya, this barrier, how is it established? What is its reality? It is by believing in Him, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, bil iman as-sadiq wal amal as-salih, by having sincere faith and by having righteous actions. These two together, this is the reality of that wiqaya that will protect, by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jalla, an individual from the anger and the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So then we see that the reality likewise of the wiqaya, it is bil iman as-sadiq wal amal as-salih. Bil iman as-sadiq, with true sincere faith, wal amal as-salih. Wal amal as-salih, wal amal alladhi قام به صاحبه مخلصا لله تعالى متبعا لسنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. The righteous deed is the one that's done sincerely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and likewise it's done according to the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Another way the ulama summarized the word taqwa is to mean أداء الفرائض أو أداء الواجبات أو فعل المأمورات وترك المنهيات. Tark al-manhiyat, to perform the obligations and stay away from the prohibitions. With sincere faith, this is called at-taqwa. At-taqwa. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is commanding in this hadith. فَاتَّقُوا النَّارِ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَةِ. So fear the fire, have taqwa of the fire. How would one have taqwa of the fire? He will protect himself by having a barrier between that, by having sincere faith in Allah Azza wa Jalla and complying to His commandments and staying away from His prohibitions. In this manner, a believer can be safe and have a shield and protection from the fire and from the anger of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His punishment by His permission. And just like a shield or a barrier, if it has weaknesses in it, then its protection likewise will become weak. And just like a barrier, it can become weak and become weaker and weaker, then likewise a person's taqwa, his iman, his ikhlas, his tawheed or her tawheed can likewise become weak. So a believer will remember this and try to comply to that, and knowing that whenever one disobeys Allah by falling short in the commandment or by falling into to the prohibition, then this is weakening that taqwa and that barrier that is protecting them from the fire of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So a person will keep strive to keep their iman and their taqwa and their tawheed strong in their heart so that they can benefit from it and be safe. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَةِ. She mentioned here, likewise, حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, for verily Allah, He did not create us with no purpose. وَاللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لَمْ يَخْلُقْنَا عَبَثًا. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He did not create us for no purpose. He did not create us for no purpose. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. She mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, do you think that we have created you with no purpose and that you will not be returned to us? and remaining for accountability. And the one who does good will be rewarded for his good, and the one who does evil will be recompensed for his deed. She says, وَقَالَ تَعَالَى وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا لَاعِبِينَ مَا خَلَقْنَاهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. She mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal and the meaning of that which is, and we did not create the heavens and the earth and everything that is between them as in play or just or joking or playing, لَاعِبِينَ. And we did not create them except in truth, but most of the people do not know. But most of them do not know. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ مَا. There's a word here missing in the beginning of the text here. مَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَأَجْلٍ مُسَمَّى وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا عَمَّا أُنذِرُوا مُعْرِضُونَ. Naam, the text I'm reading from, there's a missing word here, مَا. Should add it to the text. And we did not create the heavens and the earth and that which is between them except in truth and into an appointed term. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا عَمَّا أُنذِرُوا مُعْرِضُونَ. And those who disbelieve in that which they have been warned from, they are turning away. They are turning away. وَقَالَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاءَ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا بَاطِلًا. And we have not created the heavens and the earth and that which is between them in falsehood. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, وَقَالَ وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَإِنَّ السَّاعَةَ لَآتِيَةٌ فَاسْفَحِ الصَّفْحَ الْجَمِيلِ. And we did not create the heavens and the earth except and that which is between them except in truth, and verily the hour is coming, so pardon with the beautiful pardoning. وَفِي هَذِهِ الْأَدِلَّةِ بَيَانٌ أَنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لِأَجْلِ إِقَامَةِ الدِّينِ وَالتَّوْحِيدِ. She mentions here that in these evidences here, it's clear, the clarification that Allah has created the heavens and the earth for the purpose of establishing the deen and establishing at-tawheed. She says, وَهَيَّأَنَا سُبْحَانَهُ لِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ. And he has prepared us, and He created us and given us everything in this life, provided for us for a great, great, great affair. قَالَ تَعَالَى وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah the Most High, He says, and I have not created the jinn and mankind except to worship me alone. Inshallah, we will stop at this point. نَكْتَفِي بِهَذَا. And today, and continue inshallah next week. If there are any questions for the sisters, they can send questions through the door or with one of the children, writing it down if they like. And if there are no questions, then we will close. I encourage the sisters to review the class and to review the notes and try to memorize the narration here of Umar radiallahu anhu. Very important narration. If they can memorize this and maybe sit one day throughout the week together to review together, this is good. And to review some of the points and the benefits that ulama they mentioned with regards to the intention and how a believer can purify their intention and benefit in their daily life and the likes, to memorize some of these texts that are very important, like this text here, the Hadith of Umar, and like the last text we just read, the verse in Surah Dhariyat, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And inshallah, in our next class, we will have a discussion on this verse and that which the author has mentioned. بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ وَسَلِّمْ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.